Catholic commentary. Spiritual warfare. Stay ready so you don't have to get ready.
Jesus 911.
Slow Patrol, Jesus 911. Two-person car.
Yeah, Jesse and Anita.
Tobias and Sarah in the Old Testament.
Right. Glad to be with you today.
Love our Friday show.
Yes.
We have a lot to talk about today. Obviously, absolutely, we want to continue talking about, I think one of the most important things for us as Catholics is to get people to understand the absolute power of prayer.
Yes, we do. We need to understand that in order to pray. I think that's our communication with the Lord.
Yeah. For example, like last night, because I understand the power of prayer, so does my wife. Last night we were very tired.
Very tired because where did we come from? We came from a parish mission. Silvis, Illinois. And we want to give a shout out to those in Silvis, Illinois, Our Lady Guadalupe Church and St. Patrick's Catholic Church. And Father Peter was so gracious to invite us. Thank you, Father Peter.
Yes. What a great priest.
Great parish mission.
But like, for example, last night we were very tired. And we said, okay, let's do our night prayers. Let's do our evening prayers. Let's do our auxiliary Christianorum. And we basically grinded them out, and we looked at each other at the end, and we said that was smash mouth Catholicism.
Yes,
because our eyes were, you know, but it's something that we have an obligation to God. The devil will distract us. Fatigue will come over us. We have to fight through it because it's
absolutely
the right thing to do.
Absolutely, the right thing to do. And it's, you know, and that's why it's when you're tired like that and you have your husband or your wife praying with you, you both have each other's back as far as, oh, you missed that, honey, you missed that line. And, you know,
we're correcting
each other back and forth because we were so tired.
No, it says this.
I think we're seeing double.
Yeah. Something that's happening in California.
Yes.
Very sad.
Yes.
Our California schools are exalting paganism. Here's an article from Church Militant from Paul Murano. He's one of their staff theologians. And I want to just share some of the things that I have highlighted here.
Yeah. He says, this ethnic studies curriculum is less about education and more about indoctrination.
In other words, they're teaching the kids to call upon Aztec gods.
Right.
Can you, in a public school, teaching kids to call on Aztec deities.
Isn't that a religion?
Absolutely it is.
Yeah, but they won't teach them the true church, right?
Right,
the
exactly.
In these ethnic studies, model curriculum in California promotes paganism, anti-white racism, anti-capitalism, and it seeks to bury the one true God, whom they see it's oppressive, right?
Right. In short, this program is the left's latest attempt to overthrow Western civilization and its foundational Christianity. Now, listen to this one leftist. Her name is Angela Davis. Here's what she says. She admits it. She says this. The importance of teaching students in California how to critically engage with liberatory struggles, and specifically struggles that represent racism and colonialism. I thought our public schools were supposed to teach reading, writing, and arithmetic.
I thought so, too. I remember learning that in school,
so,
at least in the grammar school and junior high.
So this anti-Christian curricula that first permeated the university system, it's now seeping down into the secondary schools, primary schools. I mean, I remember all this stuff in college, but now it's all the way down to elementary schools. So true to form, the Luciferian left is targeting children for its further revolution.
Yeah, and this curriculum recommends teachers lead their students in ritual songs and chants to so-called Aztec gods. And one of these deities was the so-called god of war that inspired hundreds of thousands of human sacrifices. The main chant comes to a climax with a request for liberation, transformation, and decolonization. These are invocation to evil spirits mandated
by the government,
and these kids are calling and conjuring demons who respond forthwith. So these kids that want to go along with it, they're gonna, you know, they're calling on demons.
They're going to be diabolically afflicted. We're going to see so much diabolical affliction in the public schools in California.
Yeah.
And this is mandated by the government. Which
and
goes,
you know what? I think a lot of these kids are going to see, oh, there's nothing wrong with these Aztec gods in Israel. Because, you know, at church on the feast day of Our Lady Guadalupe, we have the Aztec dancers. So they're going to think it's the same thing.
They have Aztec calendars at home.
Right. And all these Aztec memorabilia.
Insignia at the typical Latino household, which you should get rid of. I've got rid of all mine 20 years ago.
Right.
So the original co-chair of the program argues the United States was founded on a European paradigm that is white supremacist, capitalist, and heteropatriarchal. And this individual claims that white Christians committed theocide against the natives, killing their so-called gods. Well, their gods are demons, according to Psalm 95. Psalm 95 says the gods of the Gentiles are demons. And so this new curriculum says that they're trying to replace them with Christianity. So the solution, this leftist claims, is a counter-genocide that will replace white Christian culture. And this latest move to indoctrinate children by attacking truth is ultimately an attack on God and seeks to impose an alternative reality on society.
Yeah, and there was a podcaster that says, how do you fix one genocide with another genocide? It doesn't make any sense. Don't you remember that the old adage, two wrongs don't make a right?
So there's an opposing view.
There's an opposing view.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So, what would you say, Anita, about this this article that you just read here?
Yeah. Well, you know, the leftists, they believe in separation of church and state when it comes to Christianity. But when it comes to Islam, Satanism, Aztec paganism, then the left has no problem with combining the church and state as long as it's not Christianity. Now you see why the catechism teaches that Satan dominates education. Do you see that?
In paragraph 407.
Paragraph 407. Yep. Right, exactly.
I mean, let's pray a prayer to St. Joseph. It's today's the solemnity of St. Joseph. Joseph. It's the month of St. Joseph in March, and it's the year of St. Joseph. I actually believe, thanks be to God, that the Vatican made the statement against we can't bless homosexual unions.
Yeah,
I think it was the intercession of St. Joseph in this year that came down upon.
Yeah, I believe, though, there was a blessing
and
graces.
And protected the Pope in his statement.
And those that were
the Lord.
Involved
you,
in this decision, because not everybody there is
on board
with it.
Well, let's pray to Saint. This, by the way, this is the oldest prayer to Saint Joseph according to tradition. It's 1,900 years old.
Yeah,
I have it right here on my desktop. So me and my wife are going to pray it in the name of the Father,
the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. O Saint Joseph, whose protection is so great,
so strong, so prompt before the throne of God, I place in thee all my interests and desires. O Saint Joseph, assist me by thy powerful intercession and obtain for me all spiritual blessings through thy foster Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, so that having engaged here below thy heavenly power, I may offer thee my thanksgiving and homage. O Saint Joseph, I never weary contemplating thee and Jesus asleep in thine arms. I dare not approach while he reposes near thy heart. Press him in my name and kiss his fine head for me, and ask him to return the kiss when I draw my dying breath. St. Joseph, patron of departing souls, pray for us. And St. Joseph, terror of demons, pray for us. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Yeah, our St. Joseph came in the clutch with that decision at the Vatican.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Yeah, without a doubt. There was a protection, divine protection from heaven.
Yep.
Because of the year, the month of St. Joseph.
And I think a lot of people, with this resurgence of venerating and honoring St. Joseph, the foster father of Jesus and the husband of Mary, I think all these prayers are coming to assistance on earth, the church on earth.
And I think they're actually more powerful
now. Oh, absolutely. I think so,
because
too.
Because when you're calling on St. Joseph's intercession, the two most powerful intercessors in heaven, according to the Catholic tradition, are the Blessed Virgin Mary, singularly, bar none, and then number two, St. Joseph. So at this point, as Catholics, obviously, we need to use all the celestial court, our guardian angels, St. Michael, St. Raphael, St. Gabriel, Our Lady, St. Joseph. We need all the prayer power that we can marshal right now.
Right. And you men, St. Joseph should be your role model. Pray to him. You men are the leaders of the homes and the leaders of society. Yes. And I'm sure a lot of women don't like that, but you are. You know, you are the leaders here. We need your prayers of St. Joseph intercede.
Amen.
Yeah.
Well, let's continue talking about this paganism in our yep. schools, Anita. No one should be surprised that paganism is making a comeback in the West. The false religions that the Catholic Church spent 1,000 years eradicating, they're not only reemerging, but they're also being promoted again over in California by the government and even in some parts by the church.
And I don't understand. A lot of the government officials are Catholic. Newsom, Nancy Pelosi, I mean, it goes on and on.
They're fake Catholics.
That they would allow this.
But they're fake Catholics, or what we would call, they're Catholics that are not evangelized.
Yep.
They're not
well catechized. Right.
They're not evangelized.
Yeah. You could tell by their,
their lifestyle.
Right, their lifestyle and the laws that they...
That pass.
Yeah, pass.
So California is moving to create a curriculum where students partake in pagan Aztec rituals while lamenting Mesoamerican paganism's theocide as an evil act of genocide and white supremacist imperialism.
Yeah, for those who don't know what Mesoamerican... Oh, here comes our mother. We'll continue this article in the next segment. Pray for us. We love you.
Our Lady Guadalupe, crush these Aztec demons.
Yep.
Our Lady Guadalupe, pray for us and crush these demons that are reemerging over in California. St. Juan Diego, pray for us and crush these demons that are reemerging in California. St. Joseph, terror of demons, pray for us, crush these demons that are reemerging in California.
Absolutely.
Jesus, we trust in you. Hey, want to say hi to all our chat family, people that are very faithfully every Friday they come on and they're talking with each other, making comments and stuff. I look forward to them every single Friday, to be honest with you.
Yeah, thank you for participating in our show, and you make our day.
Absolutely. Anita, so we're talking about this demon worship's making a comeback, specifically in California.
Yeah.
We talked about the way this, in California, they're creating this curriculum where students are participating and calling these Aztec, demon gods with a lowercase g, and they're justifying, they're saying, well, it's because... this country's guilty of, or the Spanish is guilty of theocide, killing their gods.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is a way to, we have to punish this white supremacist imperialism.
Yeah.
But when they do this, this completely ignores the actual genocides that were perpetrated against the Mesoamerican Indians by the Aztecs, the Olmecs, and the Mayan empires. These are empires that practiced ritual human sacrifice. They had shamans, which are basically witch doctors and witches, who would engage with their patients in homosexual religious rituals. And the Olmec kings would sacrifice their own brothers and pierce their genitalia in rituals to appease the gods.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, and this curriculum makes a pretty wild assumption, and namely one that isn't true. They say that the Catholic Church acted the same way against the white pagans in Europe, that the pagans who were similarly depraved and savage. Yes, they had Western philosophy that cultivated a bustling civilization, but pagan Greece, Rome, and Viking Scandinavia still had backward cultures, just like the Mesoamericans. And the church dominated them out of existence, and rightfully so. Well, yeah, because Jesus is all powerful. He's a true God. Of course, he's going to dominate.
That's right.
So that's why the Catholic Church dominated,
those things were not of God. So God let those things just be crushed under the weight of authentic religion, which was the Catholic faith.
They prayed their way in and pushed them
and evangelized these guys and converted them.
Absolutely.
You know, the Greek pagans were fine with pederasty, specifically with teachers abusing their students as part of training for skilled labor. Roman pagans permitted infanticide, often sex selective, and that is, they did it until the empire's first Christian emperor, Constantine, took the throne in the 4th century and banned it. See, that's what Christianity does with paganism. It'll take the good from paganism, and then it'll get rid of the rest.
Yeah.
And at the height of pagan Rome's population, there was up to about 30% of the population were slaves. It also offered orgies, often homosexual orgies, for the public. And these Norse pagans, they were no better. They glorified war, gladiator matches, the slaughter and slavery of innocent people. They practiced polygamy as if it were a virtue.
Wow, how can you see that? That's how blinded they were by Satan. They were blinded. This is virtuous. This is a virtuous practice.
That's right. So this is a big problem for Westerners. The Westerners, we crave for authentic spirituality, and the prelates in the church make it seem like it's okay to find these ancient religions, or even in modern neo-pagan faiths like the New Age spiritualism and astrology. And I say that I think the bishops in California should be thunderously speaking to the LA Unified School, the California Education, saying, we can't teach Catholicism in California in the public school. You can't teach the Aztec religion. Mm-hmm. The bishop's voice should rise right now and speak out against it, because 94% of Catholic kids go to public school. Yep. California public schools are full of Catholic kids. And just to show you how poorly catechized most of our Catholics are, some 33% of American Catholics believe that astrology is true.
Yeah. You know, I'm going to go back to what the Greeks were doing. They were, you know, practicing pederasty, infanticide, and polygamy. Well, that's what's happening right now. You know, pederasty, they're trying to pass these laws to legalize pedophilia. And then infanticide, what are they doing? They want abortion all 9 months. There you go. There's the infanticide. And what about the polygamy? You can marry anybody. People want to marry their computer, the banana, their dolphins. So there you are. All this is trying to make its comeback into civilized society, Christian society. You know,
St. Lucia would call this diabolical disorientation. Right. And we're seeing it here.
Yeah. So let's talk about some of the shepherds Chicago Cardinal Blaise Supich. And he partakes in a pagan Chinese blessing in front of an impressionable high school kids. Are you really? You know, Cardinal, you did that?
Why doesn't he go and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ in front of these kids in a public school? What do you mean participate in a Chinese blessing with high school kids? You know what they're going to say? Well, the cardinal came.
He did it.
Jesus must be okay. Yeah, it must be okay to embrace this stuff.
So let's get into Chinese mysticism and all these Eastern medicines.
We got to pray for our prelates.
Yeah, we got to pray for our prelates. Ones that are just out there. They want to be liked, and they want to do everything in the world. We are to evangelize in the world, not the world evangelize us.
Right.
So here we go. And then we also had our Pope Francis, when he embraced the feather-headed Amazonian priestess and display her fertility idol, which is a Pachamama, in the house of our Blessed Lord. How could that be? Would we ever see something
painful
like that? That's painful. That's paganism.
To participate. That's painful.
Bringing demons into our holy sites.
St. Joseph, pray for Pope Francis.
Yeah, this pray is for him. Pray for
and
him.
Thank God that there's a sacrament of confession
Mother
for
Mary.
All of us. And by the way, don't think popes, bishops, priests, everybody's called to the sacrament of confession. But it says, boy, oh boy, do we all sin.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, all I could say is that Pachamama, let's just be honest, that's not the Virgin Mary.
No.
Okay?
No.
It's a demon.
Mm-mm.
And you and I know it. It's a pity that this wooden little female devil was pulled out of the Tiber River, because that's where a faithful Catholic mercifully tossed that Pachamama into. And don't be fooled. These pagan gods are not fake. They likely do answer the prayers of those who worship them.
Mm-hmm.
As it takes the glory away from God, which is an evil spirit's prime directive.
Absolutely. Yep. So, but the goal of a false god isn't to help. It's to destroy and cement every person's soul in the depths of hell. Remember the words from the Council of Trent. Extra ecclesiam nulla salus. There is no salvation outside the church. Just remember that, everybody.
And we still teach that
right
now.
There's no salvation outside the church. We do not look at idols, anything outside of the church, anything that is not Jesus-centered and his saints and our, you know, the church triumphant, church militant, church suffering. If it's outside of that, then...
Now, people say, well, how are those people going to be saved? That's not my business.
Yep.
When people ask... Well,
yep.
How are non-Catholics?
That's why we pray
saved?
For conversion.
We pray for the
world.
Conversion.
We pray for
every
the conversion
day.
Of the world. That someone walks into their life, they see a podcast, and they say, wow, I want to know who this Jesus is. I want to know who his mother is. I want to know who her husband, St. Joseph, is. Why are the Catholics doing this? We got to be a visible and out in the town square. So,
and our prayers also have a very powerful, because we're going to get into prayer now. They're very powerful. For example, Dr. Jordan Peterson, a very famous psychologist from Canada, is world famous because he's a conservative, mm-hmm. and he just goes against the university academic establishment. He's made some statements which tells me he's looking into the Catholic Church. They asked him the other day, he's a psychologist. They said, so what do you think is the best thing for a person to be mentally fit, emotionally mentally fit? He says, become a Catholic. It shocked the world. This is Dr. Jordan
wow.
Peterson. The most
that's revealing.
Respected that's psychologist revealing. In the world.
Yep.
He's
mm-hmm.
conservative. He takes on all the academia. He's a Protestant of some sort. But he says the most sane thing you can do right now is become a Catholic. Charlie Kirk was interviewed the other day by Michael Voris, mm-hmm. a friend of ours. Charlie Kirk is a young conservative, patriot, evangelical, president of
Turning Point
USA. And Michael Voris interviewed mm-hmm. him and says, hey, so... you're a young man of faith, you're conservative, you're a patriot, when are you going to become Catholic? You could see Charlie Kirk was like, humming, humming, humming. He's like, man, I really, it's like you could
you gotta
see.
You got to give him time.
Yeah, he just,
he'll come,
and then he
yeah.
looked at Michael Voris, he says, I know the joke, Michael, all intelligent evangelicals become Catholics, I know the joke. And he goes, yeah. And it's true. So you could see that in his heart, God is working to bring him into the Catholic faith. See, why does all this happen? People are praying for them.
Yeah.
People are praying for them. Mm-hmm. Another person, obviously, people were praying for him. Milo Yiannopoulos.
Yes. Yep.
A young conservative, fallen away Catholic, a patriot, conservative, but a practicing homosexual. There has to be some seriously holy people praying for him.
Yes.
He just came back to the church. He did the 30-day consecration of St. Joseph, Father Calloway's book. And he's now living a chaste life.
That's beautiful.
And he's back fully into the Catholic faith. Mm-hmm. And he really rolling up his sleeves. He wants to fight the good fight as a Catholic conservative mm-hmm. now. Why is all this happening? People are praying yeah. for these people.
And this is the year of St. Joseph, the terror of demons. See, he can break you. If you are open to the word of God and to the Catholic faith, no matter what state of life you're in, you're going to come in.
And you know what, like you said, he broke the Saint Joseph, the terror of demons. He broke the diabolical yes. affliction and addiction that Milo Yiannopoulos yeah. had, without a doubt.
Right, absolutely. And when you think about him, because he's a high-profile person.
Oh yeah,
he's on. He's a podcaster, and it's important when you see him, just say a prayer. You know, prayer to Saint Joseph for his protection, because yeah. the demons are out and about, just
yeah,
like Sister Faustina.
Pull,
you know, the
back.
Demons were always attacking her. Because why? Because she was praying souls out of from going into perdition, and
so they're always coming.
They're
after.
Always a coming after.
She had a big target on her back.
Absolutely, she did.
We want to get now into about when you pray. It's the church says that your prayer is more powerful when you're specific. So we want to talk about the specificity, the precision of prayer. Mm-hmm. There's basically, you don't get it if you don't ask. And by the way, the Satanists and the witches, and mm-hmm. they know that.
Right,
they're very
they
specific
do.
In their spells, curses, incantations, hexes. They're specific in what they're asking mm-hmm. the demons to do to their neighbor or their sister-in-law, whatever. Mm-hmm. They're very specific. So we have to be specific as well. Here's two Bible verses that I think that...
And it's easy to go to fall into, well, Jesus, you know what I'm going to pray, so I'm just going to go pray. You know, yeah, absolutely, he does know, but he still wants you to ask.
Exactly. And we'll show you from Scripture.
Oh, here comes our mother. Oh, yeah. La Bonita, La Morenita, Our Lady. Pray for us.
Ora pro nobis.
Our Lady Guadalupe.
Pray for Milo Yiannopoulos. Yeah. Pray for Charlie Kirk. Pray
and
for
all
Jordan
those
Peterson.
Struggling with homosexuality. Joseph Terror Demons, come to their rescue.
Pray for us.
Welcome back to Jesus 911 with Jesse and Anita. Jesse's right here. He's coming back in his seat, the hot seat. But we're here talking about the prayer, the specificity of prayer. But before we get to that, I want to just mention someone on the chat. He said, the Holy Catholic Church gives specific prayers to pray. Prayers you know are correct and safe. You don't have to wonder if they are right. That's a huge, huge game changer. Absolutely. We have fixed prayers. You don't know what to pray. There's go online prayers, Catholic prayers. They're all there. You can learn them, and you don't have to think of what to pray. We have that's the beauty of the Catholic Church. We have fixed prayers, and we have spontaneous prayers. So we have both. And even the fixed prayers also include Scripture. Just to open up the book of Psalms. If you want to,
that's a prayer book.
Prayer of contrition, there's prayers of contrition there. If you want to praise the Lord, there's prayers of praise and glory.
Prayers of help.
Help.
That was our Lord Jesus' prayer book, by the way, the book of Psalms. Yep. St. Joseph's, Our Lady, that was their prayer book. The book, and that's why every day at Mass, there's a responsorial psalm.
Yes, so thank you, STM Traps, for that comment. Love that comment.
Let's take a look at why we should be specific in prayer. It says in 1 Kings chapter 3, from verses 5 to 12, I'm going to just parse it here. It says, in Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream at night. God said, whatever you ask, I shall give you. Solomon answered, give your servant, therefore, a listening heart to judge your people and to distinguish between good and evil. The Lord was pleased by Solomon's request, and now I do as you request. So notice, Solomon's a very specific with God. I want to be a wise person so I can know how to govern your people. God says, good request. I'm going to give you exactly what you asked for. Again, specificity in prayer.
Right. So there's another scripture verse in Matthew chapter 7, verse 7 and 11. It says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Which one of you would hand his son a stone when he asks for a loaf of bread? Or a snake when he asks for a fish? If you then, who are wicked, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Heavenly Father give good things to those who ask Him?
That's clear.
Yeah, it's very clear.
Ask and it will be given to you. There it is.
Yep.
Seek and you'll find. So Old and New Testament, both you see God is saying, be very specific in your prayer.
Be specific. And remember, ultimately, it's God's will if He's going to grant that prayer.
Yeah. And in fact, something interesting in John's Gospel that we see there.
Yeah, in John's Gospel, you know, our Lord Jesus Christ, He commands us to ask in prayer 9 times.
Wow.
Supplication and petitionary prayer is God's idea, not just a result of our personal needs. The Lord wants us to ask Him for certain things, and sacred scripture tells us what the Lord wishes us to pray for.
There's a prayer that we pray I think that night, it's called August Queen of Heaven, Heavenly Sovereign of the Angels.
Yeah,
this prayer, by the way,
that's in the Auxilium Christian Norm, the last concluding prayer.
Yeah,
that's the prayer that you pray every day when you pray those prayers. Yeah.
So there was a Bernardine sister who was shown in spirit the vast desolation caused by the devil throughout the world, and at the same time she heard the Blessed Virgin telling her that it was true that hell had been let loose upon the earth, and that the time had come to pray to her as Queen of the Angels, and to ask of her the assistance of heavenly legions to fight against these deadly foes of God and of men. And that's where that prayer comes from, by the way, that we pray at night.
That's a beautiful prayer.
But Our Lady said, this nun, this Bernardine nun said, "But my good mother," she replied, "you are so kind." So she's talking, this nun is talking to Mary, Our Lady. "But my good mother, you who are so kind, could you not send them prayers or request or the graces? Could you not send them without our asking?" Mary says, "No," Our Lady answered, "because prayer is one of the conditions required by God himself in obtaining favors," close quote. And then the Blessed Virgin Mary communicated the following prayer and gave it to the sister and told the sister to distribute it. That's that prayer that goes, "August Queen of the heaven, Angels, Heavenly
Sovereign of the Angels,
thou who has received from God the power of the mission." It's that prayer. But notice here, here's the point that I'm making.
Yeah.
So a nun asked Our Lady, "Hey, can't you just send us graces?" Because she's the mediatrix of all graces. "Can't you send us just graces down here?" And Our Lady says, "No, you have to ask." So she's saying, "Why do I have to ask?" That's the condition that God requires.
Yeah, because God doesn't force himself on us. Do we want him or do we not want him? So he's just, "I have the graces. Here they are. I have a load of graces here, a basket full. Who wants them?" And those that start praying, he starts emptying the basket out.
That's it.
And sending them down.
And there, it's an infinite, it's unending.
Yeah. And never the basket never ends.
Never
empties.
It's the gift that keeps on giving. Kind of like you are to me.
Oh, you're the gift that keeps on giving.
So,
you got me excited. My headpiece almost came up. A little humor there.
So, I got a miraculous medal.
We do.
Tell us a little bit about the miraculous medal in relation to graces.
Yes. So the images on the miraculous medal were designed by the Blessed Mother and spoken to St. Catherine Laboure. Our Blessed Mother said that the rays coming from some of her fingers demonstrate the graces God gives through her to those who ask and are open. That's what we were talking about right now. "There are some fingers where no rays are shown. Mary said that that is to demonstrate the graces that are not given because they were not requested of her." How interesting is that? And then there's just another reminder, Matthew 7:7, "Ask and it shall be given to you." Isn't that interesting? There's some rays that are not coming from her finger because there's some of us that are not asking for graces.
In other words,
see the power our Lord gives her? Wow.
Yeah, that's why she's called the mediatrix
of
all graces.
That's incredible.
When you pray, you get what you ask for. But prayer has an effect. As we were taught on Liber Christo at our training on Anita, prayer begets what you ask for. And demons respond, by the way, when you pray. Let's get into the spiritual warfare aspect of it.
Demon, it's a spiritual warfare show, Jesus 911.
Demons respond to people that pray when they have authority. Mm-hmm. When you have authority, that's the first thing that makes your prayers powerful.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, the merit of your prayer, which basically means your state of grace, your purity of life. The third thing that makes your prayer efficacious is the precision of the prayer. As theology teaches, prayer begets what it signifies. So when I talk about the merit of your prayer, it's like, I'll give you an analogy. It's like shooting a bullet from a dirty weapon. A lot of times, it'll jam. If your weapon is dirty, the bullet will jam. And the weapon and the bullet will not project from the barrel. So if your soul is dirty, your prayers are ineffective. I don't know a better way to explain it to men.
Wow, that's a great analogy. Even for women, they can picture that, especially if women, those of you that like to go shooting, I do. That's just a solid example.
Right. It's a pretty solid example. Your gun will jam if the gun's dirty.
Dirty.
It'll jam. The bullet will jam. Mm-hmm. And so your prayer will not project if your soul is dirty. I don't know a better way to really explain that.
That's something that we can picture it.
Yeah.
We could picture a gun going off and a picture of
or
a
the
gun.
Bullet jamming.
Jamming.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Anita, and here's something else that's important. In relation to exorcist, mm-hmm. what I just talked about, the three things that make prayer powerful, this is why an exorcist prayer is powerful.
Mm-hmm.
Because number one, he has authority to pray the rite of exorcism right. by his bishop.
Yep, and that's where the authority comes from, the bishop. Because remember, the bishop is one of the apostles and the princes of the church.
And the demons
and
know
there's
it.
A lineage from Jesus, from every apostle that he's been...
even if he's a bad bishop,
installed.
Okay? Even if
he's a bad bishop,
liberal
right.
Demons still respect the authority of mm-hmm. the office.
Yep, right.
So the second thing that makes an exorcist prayer powerful is that an exorcist prepares for an exorcism session for days, again, primarily by living in a state of grace. And the third thing that makes an exorcist prayer powerful is his prayers are precise. They're intended to torment and drive out the demon from the person. So an exorcist follows the threefold protocol that I just mm-hmm. mentioned right
yeah,
before
and the,
that.
And the preparation for them, it's, you know, it's living in a state of grace and fasting and praying for this person that they're going to do this session on. So it's really important that, and we as lay people that are living in the state of grace, we need to remember that we need to pray for them also. We need to pray for exorcists.
Oh, absolutely.
The power of the people that are praying for them helps the exorcism, and it's more effective and
it helps expedite the healing, the
absolutely.
Liberation of the demon. Anita, I've heard it said that God didn't call us to a playground, but he called us to a battleground.
Yep,
that's what life is.
We're up. Yeah, life's a battle.
It's not a playground.
Right.
It's a battle.
We're in battle. We've talked about that a lot.
Heaven will be a playground.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right now, it's a battleground.
Yeah. And that's what we were battling last night. We were battling against temptation for sloth. Sloth. Right. From the temptation of
Acedia,
sloth. Oh,
yeah,
I'm too tired. I don't want to pray. But
pray.
No, we... We broke through that.
Smash mouth Catholicism. Anita, share now with us about...
Yeah, Father Gabriel Morth, the exorcist who passed away not too long ago.
The way prayer hurts demons, so that's what we want to get into. Okay, here, prayer hurts demons, it torments them, it wounds them. That's what we want to get into.
Yeah, that's what... So Father Gabriel Morth, he's the exorcist. He was the exorcist of Diocese of Rome, rest in peace.
That in 2016.
Mm-hmm. And he writes, one day a colleague of mine heard the devil say during an exorcism, we'll continue this in the next segment.
Here comes
segment,
the mediatrix
segment,
of all graces.
Yes.
Ora pro nobis.
We love you.
Pray
La
for...
La morenita bonita.
Ora pro nobis. We'll be right back. Stick around.
Your beauty and your grace are the bright little dawn. Our Lady of Guadalupe. For us, so tenderly you hold us in your arms. Your beauty and your grace are the bright little dawn. Our Lady of Guadalupe, pray for us. So tenderly you hold us in your arms.
Pray for everybody in the chat room.
Yes.
For all their needs and problems and all their petitions.
Yeah, why don't we say a prayer for them?
In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death, amen. And this Hail Mary, we apply all the graces to all the people listening in the chat room, amen. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Anita, let's get right into the fact that prayer hurts demons, it tortures them, it wounds them. What does Father Amorth
say? Okay, Father Amorth, he says, the exorcist from Diocese of Rome, who is now in the presence of the Lord, it says, one day a colleague of mine heard the devil say during an exorcism, quote, every Hail Mary is like a blow on my head. If Christians knew how powerful the rosary was, it would be my end. Anyone who goes to Mary and prays the rosary cannot be touched by Satan. The secret that makes this prayer so effective is that the rosary is both prayer and meditation. It is addressed to the Father, to the Blessed Virgin, and to the Holy Trinity, and is a meditation centered on Christ. Remember, because you're meditating on the life of Christ, you know, the passion of Christ, the birth and the Annunciation, the incarnation of Christ, and the resurrection of Christ, and all the miracles of Christ. So that's what we, when we pray the rosary, that's what we're to do, is focus on the life of Christ. Amen. In those days.
We got to fight like real men. We got to get on our knees and pray. And the rosary are the beads for the battle. In fact, the rosary trains especially men to a life of discipline, dedication, and concentration. These are the traits of a soldier of Christ.
Yeah. In Father Gabriel Moore's book, An Exorcist Explains the Demonic,
which was his last book.
Yeah, it was his last book. And those are great books, by the way, if you have a chance to read them. He said of the Blessed Mother, the demon is terrified of her. In order to be very clear, I wish to cite an episode at which I personally assisted many years ago. He said, during an exorcism, Father Candido asked the devil a question. Why are you more afraid when I invoke Mary than when I implore God himself? He responded, I feel more humiliated being conquered by a simple creature than by God himself.
Wow, because the devil's pure pride.
Pride, yep, pure pride. How can a human being conquer me?
Yeah, he doesn't mind being conquered by God because
knows he's God.
He's God, duh. But he's like, oh no, he's always giving his mom to expel me and beat me up and torment me.
Yep.
Here's another one. Saint Isaiah the Hermit in 488 AD. This is one of the desert fathers. And he sums up for us the grace of meditation. He says this, quote, meditation melts our evil thoughts and withers the passions of the soul. It enlightens our mind, makes the understanding radiant, and fills the heart with joy. Here's the cash value. Meditation wounds demons and drives away thoughts of wickedness. Close quote. I don't know about you, but that says everything I need to know.
Yeah, and that's in your book. You have that quote in your book, and Lord, prepare my hands
As to why we should be praying.
The power of prayer, absolutely.
And an example of meditative prayer would be the Holy Rosary, the Divine Mercy, the Stations of the Cross. Just if you want to know. Well, give us an example of meditation. There's three.
There you go. Okay, and St. Athanasius, he later explained that the sign of the cross and the name of Jesus puts demons to flight. I mean, you just want, that's the first thing I do when I wake up. I make my eyes open, the sign of the cross, and get my hips up and start the day.
So what does he say?
He says, the sign of the cross and the name of Jesus puts demons to flight. He says, these things which we have said are no more mere words. They are attested by actual experience. Anyone who likes may see the proof of the glory in the virgins of Christ and in the young men who practice chastity as part of their religion. And in the assurance of immortality in so great and glad a company of martyrs. Anyone, too, may put what we have said to the proof of experience in another way. In the very presence of the fraud of demons and the imposture of the oracles and the wonders of magic, let him use the sign of the cross which they mock at and but speak of the name of Christ. And he shall see how through him demons are routed. Oracle ceased, and all magic and witchcraft is confounded. There you go.
It's back in the 4th century. Yeah. The oracles are those Greek pagans. They were like witches or sorcerers. They would supposedly speak for the Greek gods. Mm-hmm. That's what the oracles were. Yeah. Also, he talks about...
You can see that in... what's that?
The movie 300.
Yeah, 300. He'd go to the oracles.
Right.
And they're up there.
Those are the Greek sorcerers.
Yeah.
And also, they practiced magic back then at the time of St. Athanasius. Yeah. And he's talking that these demons with the sign of the cross are routed. That means driven out. And the oracles, these false sorcerers, they stop prophesying. And all the magic and the witchcraft is confounded. They're confused when somebody starts making the sign of the cross. Here's another one, St. John Chrysostom.
Okay.
If you could share that one.
Yeah, he says that this is not only as necessary for the spiritual life, but as a strong defense against the evil one. He says, quote, I desire that from those books you convey the letters and sense into your understanding, that so it may be purified when it receives the meaning of the writing. For if the devil will not dare to approach a house where a gospel is lying, much less will any evil spirit or any sinful nature ever touch or enter a soul which bears about with it such sentiments as it contains. Sanctify then your soul, sanctify your body, by having these ever in your heart and on your tongue. For if foul speech defiles and invites devils, it is clear that spiritual reading sanctifies and draws down the grace of the Spirit.
There it is. St. John Chrysostom, right. Doctor of the Church, says, having a gospel, opening up your Bible, causes devils to scram, and it calls right. down the grace of God, the Holy Spirit, upon you. As you're reading the Bible, spiritual reading calls down the grace of God, and it causes devils to leave. This mm-hmm. comes from St. John Chrysostom.
Yeah,
this
is about us. As opposed to unspiritual reading, you know, you don't know what you're reading, and these devils are coming. They're attacking you, attacking your mind, putting thoughts in your mind and ideas
oh,
and
yeah.
tempting you.
Absolutely. There's one famous saint, St. Catherine mm-hmm. of Alexandria, back in the Middle Ages. She mm-hmm. said God allowed her to see a vision of hell, and she says, many people go to hell because of bad books. Yeah. I'll get the actual quote, and I'll do it short next week. I have it in one of my notes. But she says, many people go to hell yep. because of bad books.
Yep.
It's dangerous. You got to guard this.
Yep.
Here's the last one we'll probably share on it. The St. Catherine of Bologna, she was an abbess of the Augustinians. I'll read half, you read half.
Oh,
she
okay.
died in 1463 at the age of 49. She had an unquenchable thirst for God. She lived in communal poverty, pursued devout prayer. She suffered demonic assaults for 5 years, which led her to the brink of despair. But at the end of her trials, she received a consoling vision that confirmed Christ's real presence in the Eucharist. She continued to grow spiritually and composed the Seven Spiritual Weapons, which is a treatise on prayer and temptation. And the seventh weapon with which we can conquer our enemies, she says, St. Catherine of Bologna, is memory of Holy Scripture, which we must carry in our hearts. Sounds like St. John Chrysostom.
Yeah.
And from which, as from a most devoted mother, we must take counsel in the things we have to do. What else does she say,
Anita? I think just to make a real quick comment on that, I think that's something we can learn from the Protestants. They memorize scriptures. I think we, as Catholics, this is our book.
Give them some credit. Yeah,
I'm going to give them credit.
Yeah.
We should memorize a few scripture verses.
At least 10.
Yeah, at least 10. John 3:16. Yeah. That's an easy one.
Put them in your mind.
Burn
them in your mind.
Something that just sings to your heart and protects you.
Yeah.
So we're going to continue. And with this weapon, our Savior Christ Jesus conquered and confounded the devil in the desert, saying, it is written.
The weapon of the gospel.
The weapon of the gospel.
The word of God.
The word of God. Therefore, dearest sisters, this is St. Catherine of Bologna. Let not the daily readings that you read in the choir and at table go without effect. And let the thoughts which you hear each day in the gospels and epistles at mass be new letters sent to you by your heavenly spouse.
Mm.
Your love letters. That's what I say. And with great and fervent love, put them in your breast. And when you have more time, think about them. Do this especially when you are in your cell, so that you can better and more securely embrace gently and chastely the things which they command you.
The word of God commands
you. The word of God. By doing this, you will find yourselves continually consoled, because you will often receive news from the one whom you love above all else. Oh, sweet and gentle is the divine discourse of Christ Jesus in the soul of her who is truly inflamed by love of him. Is not the word Christ's own sweet and mellifluous mouth the evangelical doctrine? Certainly it is, and so how attentively you should listen to it and taste it. And here I put an end to the aforesaid weapons. But in this regard, I beg you, dear sisters, that you learn to use them wisely and never be found without them, so that you can better obtain the triumph of the victory against your adversaries.
So two saints are calling us that Bible reading drives away demons and
right.
calls down the grace of God. St. Catherine
right.
of Bologna, back in the 15th century. St. John Chrysostom, back in the 4th century.
Yeah.
It also reminds me, maybe I could deploy one more. Father
yeah.
Jeffrey Grubb, who's now Bishop Jeffrey Grubb, he wrote his PhD thesis. It's called The History of Exorcism, and he says this, St. Cyprian, back in 258 AD, Bishop of Carthage, brings a different dimension to the discussion of the demonic. Drawing on his own experience as well as the writings of Tertullian and Minucius Felix, Cyprian suggests that the actual words of exorcism inflict pain and torment on the demons. While Cyprian's hypotheses may not have had any direct bearing on the development of the ritual of exorcism in particular, It certainly reinforced the general importance of language and its usage in ritual action. In addition, Cyprian drew on Tertullian's conviction that every Christian inherited the power to cast out demons. For him, this power was received at baptism. After the exorcism, the exorcist should ask the energumen what he or she experienced in his or her body and soul during the ritual. Words that apparently torment the devil should be used with greater stress and frequency. This is from Bishop Jeffrey Grob. He's just talking about the power of exorcism prayers, because why? They're precise. They're precise. They're very Catholic. And again, and the priests are in a state of grace that are praying these prayers. Yeah. And we can pray over ourselves. We can do self-deliverance. There's a lot deliverance and minor exorcism prayers that are available to us. The Lorica, we can pray that. Yeah. Say Michael the Archangel
Exilium
prayer.
Exilium Christianorum.
Our Father's a minor exorcism prayer. Hey, I hear the music.
Yep, it's time to go. And
TGIF.
Yep.
Thank God, I'm forgiven. You thought I was going to say, thank God it's Friday.
This is Jesus 911 with Jesse and Anita. It's good to be with you.
And God bless all of you. Have a great weekend. Up next, Gary Machuda, Hands-On Apologetics.
We'll see you next time.
If you like what you hear, then like us and hit the subscribe button. Let other people know about the show. See you next week. Same Christ time, same Christ channel. God bless you. Tobias and Sarah signing out.
See you next time.